Since 1955, a place of refuge in downtown Fresno for women and children in crisis, that's the Evangel Home. And welcome to the weekly radio voice of the Evangel Home. You've tuned in to Heartline. Here's your host, Jim Tuck.
Thank you so much, Ken Adams. We are delighted to have this great privilege of coming to the airwaves in Central California with Heartline, the radio voice of Evangel Home of Fresno. And Jerry, we're here in your office, as we nearly always are. And Amy is with us. And the timing, and Amy's story, is pretty much a God thing, given what last week's topic was and the questions that we raised, more than answers, with the subject of meth use.
Exactly. Jim, when we recorded last week, that's exactly what we talked about, just the two of us. We had just had to have one of our gals in Crossroads leave. We had asked her to leave because of meth use more than once, and we just explored the whole topic, knowing that Evangel Home is certainly not the only place in town struggling with that. We are not a drug rehab center, nor do we want to be, so we really questioned about what do we do with women who come with meth problems. And maybe some people come and they smoke pot once in a while, or they do other stuff once in a while. You don't do meth once in a while. It really becomes a lifestyle real, real fast. And we're seeing that. And I would venture to say every other place in town is seeing it. Whether they're talking about it or recognizing it, I don't know. But we were very open on the air about the frustration, the pain, all the stuff that goes on. Little did I know that today we would have Amy sitting here, and that is Amy's struggle has been meth. And that's one of her struggles. I have no idea what the others might be, but that's pretty much labeled her struggles. And what makes Amy unique to us in the meth world is that she was here last fall, in September or so, and wanted to go into Crossroads, but because of her addiction and that we can't deal with it at that level, we said no. But Amy is a fighter, and Amy was not going to be deterred with one simple no. But I think we probably suggested the garden also, Amy. That would have made sense at the time.
But I had my child, or I was getting my child back.
So a little girl that she has with her this time. So that wasn't working. So what we came up with at that time was, okay, Amy, you get yourself into a drug rehab program, complete it, graduate from it, and then we'll talk. Well, we've discussed that with many women in the past, and many of them have started, but a few will make it that far and then come back here. Amy did. She graduated from an inpatient drug place, and she showed up here again. And I'm sure, knowing Amy, she didn't just knock on the door and say, okay, I'm done. She would have got it in order. She would have called and said, okay. She's not the kind of person that's just going to leave Chicago and come to Fresno because she's heard it's a nice place. Amy doesn't work like that. Sort of, I think, underneath all that, Jim, is a real, responsible, professional, caring woman that was in a pit with meth. And if she doesn't keep on the straight and narrow, that's where she's going to spend the rest of her life. That's the scary, scary part. Yeah. So Amy is back here in our little nest again, and we feel very committed to her, because we did say, if you come back, you've got a shot at Crossroads. There is no way in the world we can now say no.
Right.
Amy, I shouldn't tell you that because you still have to go through the steps. But she will go through the steps, and we will honor our word and give her every benefit of the doubt, every shot at it. So here's Amy.
Yeah, Amy, congratulations. I mean, not congratulations. Evangel Home has laid out some difficult hoops to jump through, and you've jumped through them. And I suppose, in a sense, congratulations. But that just doesn't happen very often. How long has meth been part of your life?
Off and on for the last 7 years.
How did it start?
It actually started when me and my husband had split up, and I was introduced to a guy who really liked me. I had low, low self-esteem. Told me I was overweight for him and told me to start using meth, and I did, willingly, because I thought it was going to help.
And in September, you had no place to stay. What was your life then? Where were you?
By September, I had lost everything. My daughter had gotten taken away. I lost my house, my job, my car. I had nowhere to go and nowhere to turn to, really.
The guy you lost weight for, I'm sure, was long gone.
Oh, long, long gone. Way long gone. I had just lost everything. I lost myself. I wasn't happy. I was miserable, miserable. And my dad had actually told me about this place over and over and over again. I kept turning him down. I didn't think I needed help. I thought I could handle it all on my own. And that was probably the worst thing I could think, was I could do it all on my own, because that's how I got where I was all on my own.
And that's fascinating to me too, Jim, that you have this whole checkoff list of things that you want to keep and do, and you're losing every one of them and still thinking, I can do this. Because you haven't realized you've lost yourself yet. You've lost your vision, and that's I think that's a real insight into it, that you lose everything and still think you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you obviously got some body art. Did that all take place during those 7 years?
Yeah, it did. There was a time where meth was all I cared about, and when you're on meth, it's really altering. Like, you don't think clearly, and like, a lot of the tattoos and stuff I got, I was doing drugs, I was selling drugs, and it was part of the lifestyle, and being in part of that lifestyle, just keep going deeper and deeper into it, and lots of tattoos came out of that, yeah.
So your dad told you about Evangelome, and you decided one day, I can't do it on my own, that's enough.
Yeah, I decided I cannot do it on my own, and there has to be somebody really, really strong and powerful to get me out of where I'm at. And in the past, I had gone to a Christian church, and it never really felt right to me at the time, but now I look at it as God put me to where I was for a reason, brought me back out of it, and he's holding me strong now.
So you went to the inpatient program. You completed it. Congratulations. Bless your heart. But you said, that's not enough. I need more.
The whole process of me doing that was just so I could be back here. I called and said, can I please come home now?
Why do you like it here so much?
I feel good here. I feel like people actually care about me here. I feel like this is the best place I've been probably in my whole life. Just being here, being around the people, being around just God. I feel God in this place, and I feel comfortable in this place, and I never felt better anywhere else in my life.
Wow. So when did you get back?
I got back, I want to say, last Thursday.
Okay. So you're newly back.
Oh, yeah.
So there's still hoops to jump through to get into the Crossroads.
Yeah, she can't apply until she's been here 2 weeks, and she still has to go through everything that everybody does. And I know Amy, somehow I know Amy well enough. She's not the type that's going to tell the other women that she's got, you know, a greased path over there that she's in. She won't. I think, in spite of all that you hear about what her last 7 years have been like, there's an integrity and there's a wonderful common sense about Amy. So, yeah, she's still got to go through all the hoops. She'll do it.
Yeah. Amy, who do you want Amy to be?
I want Amy to be whoever God wants me to be. I've been horribly wrong in the past and thought I could do things, and then I've also only given him part of the stuff to handle and tried to deal with half of it myself. But ever since I lost my daughter and I came to the point where I gave that up and put that in God's hands and said, God, please take that for me and do your will. And if it's back with me, then wonderful. If it's not, then do your will. I'm here for you, and I'm going to let you take me there. And so now I'm his will, not mine.
You know, another thing that Amy did, and Amy, I maybe shouldn't say this, and if I shouldn't, then Ken Adams, cut this out. When Amy was here before, she started seeing one of our counselors at the Counseling Center. And I only know that now because I talked with her yesterday that you are here, and I think you continued to see her after you left.
Yes.
That's a huge thing for us at the Counseling Center. We have really want to make that open to any of our women who are here, no matter what condition they leave under, they can continue to see a counselor for free. And we want more people to avail themselves of that, but we can't tell the whole town all at once or everyone will be here. So it's always a balance of too many people or not enough people here. Again, Amy followed through with that. People will come here and they'll get a few times of counseling, they'll miss appointments and they won't come anymore. Every opportunity that they could have to get their lives turned around, we're providing for them. And Amy is just eating up every one of them and growing from it, you know. So that's another thing you are very smart about.
One of the things that we always talk about, Jerry, in when we have somebody like Amy here, that such a key long-term is going to be different relationships, setting aside that old connection with that old world altogether, because that's just a temptation that is almost impossible to overcome. Amy, do you realize that, and have you made those commitments?
Actually, I have. I've never done drugs since I've been out here in Fresno. I actually moved from Colorado. All my bad friends. all of my past behaviors were done in Colorado or outside of Fresno. So the amount of people I know out here is very minimal already, and I've been trying to only keep good people who are going to keep me going in the right direction and not bring me down or try to bring me down, because I don't need that in my life anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to surround myself with bad people. You are who you hang out with, and as long as I'm hanging out with the good people and people that I know are going well, I know I'll be okay.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. It's been a long time, but I remember hearing Chuck Swindoll one time talking about how you need to surround yourself with the people you want to be like. Mm-hmm. He says, when you go out into the garden, wear white gloves. You don't wind up with glovy mud. You wind up with muddy gloves. I mean, good bad company corrupts good morals. And so that surrounding yourself with the quality people, the kind of people you want to be like, is absolutely 100% necessary.
And you know, Jim, when you said that, I just flashed back to I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and I remember my mother saying, you know, you can't go over there to play, or you can't do that. And if I would say why, I remember her several times saying, well, she's not your type. Now, an 8-year-old, what does that mean to an 8-year-old? She's not my type. But I know in my mother's eyes, that was maybe a family that my parents knew there was bad stuff going on, or, you know, they were very, very good about letting us have our freedom to some extent, but with very, very impenetrable boundaries.
Yes.
And I remember that being one of them several times in my life when Mom would say, no, you can't go over there, or whatever the reason. And, of course, I would fight. But, you know, later I always realized what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And of course, that goes through high school when you're at home and your parents don't want you hanging around with certain kids. That made more sense to me then. But when you're 8 and 9, it starts real early.
Yeah. And transferable concept is we didn't understand our parents then, like we don't understand God's purposes and ways now. He is our heavenly parent, and he's got an eternal perspective from a perfectly holy position. And so we obey because he's the parent. And as a 9-year-old, we have to obey our parents, trusting that they've got our best interest in mind. Amy, thank you so much. It's just been a delight, and we are completely out of time. I don't know where the time goes, but I am thrilled to hear your story and to look you in the eyeballs and see commitment. And God bless you, sister. Jerry, thanks. Good choice. And Lord, thank you for the timing of this discussion. And thank you, our listening friend, for joining us today on this edition of Heartline. We are, by God's grace, the radio voice of Evangel Home of Fresno.
The Evangel Home of Fresno, ministering to women and children in crisis since 1955. Reach them by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Round the clock online, evangelhome.org. And join us again next weekend, same time, same station, for Heartline, the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno.